Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A community in anguish following a shooting that killed a five-year-old girl and severely injured her 15-year-old cousin. How people are coming together to face the grief.
And the heat is back. It's only noon and the heat index already over 100. I'll let you know which areas could see a storm to help cool you down today. Coming up.
Also, he came to the United States for a better life for his family. And now police are searching for the people who killed a man from Afghanistan who helped U.S. troops.
The man charged with gunning down a five-year-old girl in Durham was, in fact, her cousin. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. This evening, the community is expected to hold a balloon release in honor of Chloe Fennell. Her cousin, 15-year-old Destiny Sidbury, was also shot but survived. This morning, Brian Lester was scheduled to appear in court, but once again, he did not. WRAL's Monica Casey is live in Durham after speaking with a community member. Monica, just a terrible story.
It really is. We've been on this street where the shooting happened for about an hour now, and a few people have been coming by trying to see if there is any way they can help. A few cars have stopped here, and some people have even gone up to the door of this home, knocking, seeing if anyone's home, trying to offer support and funds to this family. I spoke with Carolyn Rogers Stone, a community activist who lives nearby. She tells me she couldn't sit at home and not do anything in the face of this tragedy.
How much more can we take of this? I'm 70 years old, and I'm telling you, I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the good again. And this can be again.
We're told Lester will be assigned a court-appointed attorney in this case. His next court date is scheduled for late July. Now, you can see pieces of Chloe's life here outside the house, a pink scooter on its side there. The family will be holding a balloon release here at this home at 6 o'clock tonight. Michelle?
Monica Casey, live in Durham. Thanks, Monica.
And we're following some breaking news this noon hour here in the WRAL Live Center. The search is on for a 71-year-old missing Wake County man. Take a look at your screen. This is 71-year-old Cecil Olive. He's 6 feet tall, weighs about 160 pounds, with graying hair and green eyes. He was last seen wearing a red or burgundy shirt and black shorts with dark colored shoes and white socks. Deputies are searching in the Apex area around Evans Road and Grouse Trail. Here's Wake County Sheriff Deputy Tony Godwin about this morning's search.
The last time that anybody has actually seen him was 8:30 last night over in the Apex area. So since then, we've been doing, you know, everything that we can. We've been doing ground search. We've got canine teams out. We've got search and rescue teams out on the ground. We've got drones flying. We had North Carolina State Highway Patrol helicopter flying, just looking, you know, everywhere that we can.
Deputy Godwin said they're searching woodlands, trails, ponds, anywhere that they can. The other concern is that it's so hot outside today, he's on foot. There's also sheriff's deputies saying that he might be suffering from some type of dementia or Alzheimer's. So if you see Mr. Olive, you're encouraged to call the Wake County Sheriff's Office.
All right, Ken, thanks for being on the lookout. The labor market is still strong in the U.S., but there are signs of it weakening. WRAL's Brian Schrader has a look at the new jobs report and what it could mean for all of us. Brian.
Jeff, we got those new numbers this morning, and they were well below economists' forecasts. Take a look at the numbers. The U.S. added 209,000 jobs in June. That's a healthy number, but not the 240,000 jobs that experts forecast. This morning's report also revised down May's job numbers. Other data also showed that temporary hiring is falling around the country. UNC Kenan Institute Chief Economist Gerald Cohen says that data could signal a slowing economy.
We are unlikely to be in a recession anytime soon. But if these increase in jobless claims, if this temp help number is indicative, maybe in 6 months, maybe in 12 months.
Of course, the Fed has been raising interest rates, trying to slow the economy to bring down inflation. But this morning's data shows that wages still are rising. And Cohen believes the Fed will continue to raise rates.
We'll see you after their next meeting. Brian, thanks for the update. Today's report supports data from the labor market that revealed more Americans are sticking with their current jobs. 4 million people voluntarily left their jobs in May. That's about 500,000 fewer people compared to November of 2021, when quitting reached the highest level in the agency that it records the date back to 2000. Economists say the decrease signals a softening labor market. The Labor Department also reports job openings fell to 9.82 million in May. That's down 496,000 from April.
The radar is quiet for now, but storm chances do stick with us for your Friday afternoon and into the weekend. Meteorologist Kat Campbell breaks down which day has the greatest storm potential. And Kat, these storms could at least provide some relief from the heat we're seeing.
And we could really use it today. These numbers are definitely up compared to what we saw yesterday and the day before. 92 already, and it's only noon in the Triangle. The heat index 102 at this hour, feeling like 104 in Clinton, feels like 102 in Fayetteville. It's another steamy day, and we expect to reach the mid-90s for high temperatures this afternoon. The dual Doppler 5000 radar, still nice and quiet, just some ground clutter. So no rain showing up anywhere here on the radar just yet. But once we get past about 1:30, I think we'll see a chance of a pop-up storm. They'll start out very isolated with just one or two on the radar, and then we'll continue to see coverage grow as we get toward 4 or 5 o'clock. The chance today, about 40%, and these storms will be similar to yesterday in terms of both coverage and the fact that they're going to pop up, intensify, and then just kind of not move much and rain themselves out. So just be aware there could be some lightning, heavy rain, and even some winds gusting up to 40, maybe 50 miles per hour at times. But after sunset, things quiet down tonight. Your weekend looking more unsettled. A front that we're watching speeding up a bit, and with it getting closer to us by Saturday night into Sunday, storm chances are on the rise. And there is the threat that we could see a severe storm on Sunday. Because of this, we have declared Sunday a WRAL weather alert day. We'll have a closer look at the specific threats and the timing for weekend storms coming up.
Thanks, Kat. An interpreter for U.S. forces in Afghanistan for 10 years brought his family to America for a better life. He was driving for a rideshare company in Washington, D.C. when he was shot and killed. So far, there have been no arrests. Julie Carey spoke with family and friends.
Nasrat Ahmadyar risked his life in his work as an interpreter for U.S. Special Forces in Afghanistan.
Then he was alongside, shoulder to shoulder, helping American soldiers.
After U.S. forces pulled out, he was on the run, but eventually made it out to America.
And then he came here. He was so happy. You know, he sent me the ticket, so I made it finally. I'm coming.
Initially living in Philadelphia, Nasrat felt it was too dangerous, so he moved to Northern Virginia, his life goal clear. Jeremy Malone helped special visa holders from Afghanistan resettle in this country.
He came to America to be safe, but his dream was really for his kids. He always said he wanted them to have a good education. He wanted them to have opportunities.
Nasrat and his best friend, another former interpreter, bought vehicles to become rideshare drivers. Friends say, though, Nasrat was generous to a fault, always sending money back to those struggling in Afghanistan. They say he was driving just after midnight early Monday because he was behind on rent.
He was very willing to share whatever he had. That's why he was driving that night, was because he needed to make a little bit of extra money to catch up.
This is the security camera video that captured the gunshot that ended Nasrat's life, ended his American dream. As four people flee, one shouts, "You killed him." Nasrat was found next to his SUV in the 400 block of 11th Street Northeast and pronounced dead on the scene from a gunshot wound to the stomach. His friends and loved ones devastated.
I was in shock, and the whole family, everyone's in shock. The whole community's in shock.
It was Julie Carey reporting. Two fundraisers are underway right now to try to support his family.
New this noon, we have new insight into the investigation of the Carowinds roller coaster break. WRAL's Chris Lovingood talked to the Department of Labor commissioner about that this morning. Chris, what did you learn?
Well, first off, Michelle, Commissioner Josh Dobson says he's very pleased with Carowinds and its transparency with his office. Now, as for the investigation into the Fury 325 break, he says that'll take as long as it takes, so no specific timeline. The ride's manufacturer, along with state investigators, were at Carowinds this week, and we learned from the park the support column with to break in it, that should be replaced next week. Carowinds says it plans to do extensive testing. We're talking about operating the ride 500 times, having a third-party company test the ride, and work with the Department of Labor's Elevator and Amusement Bureau before that ride reopens.
And that's satisfactory to you in terms of the amount that they are willing to do before they go, okay, it's ready to go, the state can test it now before we're recertified.
Well, I think it's a good start. I don't want to speak on what is or is not satisfactory just yet. I will just say at this time, I've been very pleased that they have reached out to me individually and also to our bureau chiefs and want to do this in a partner in a collaborative way.
The NC Labor Department sent me inspections for Carowinds for the last 4 years, but there were no major violations, and not just for the Fury ride, but other rides inspected. Now, later at 4 on WREL News and our newscast, we'll hear more on my interview with Commissioner Josh Dobson, including more on what needs to happen before the Fury 325 ride reopens. And Michelle, just one last thing. It's still not quite clear what specifically led to the break. That's still being investigated.
Yeah, a lot of people want to know. Chris Lovingood, live in studio. Thanks, Chris. Well, dozens of people were arrested or cited for disruptions during the 4th of July celebrations in Uptown Charlotte. Officers arrested 32 people, including 17 juveniles. The parent or guardian of juveniles were also charged with contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Two officers were injured during the disturbances, but they are expected to be fine. Four firearms were seized by officers.
It's a very special day for former President Jimmy Carter and his wife, Rosalynn. They celebrate 77 years of marriage today. Now, the couple plans to mark the occasion with a quiet day at their Plains, Georgia home. Mr. Carter has been in hospice since February, and Mrs. Carter has dementia. Their family has not offered any details about their conditions, but they say both have enjoyed their time together with each other and with their family and friends over the past few months. The Carters are the longest married first couple in American history. Next at noon, the owner of the submersible that imploded during a voyage to the Titanic has shut down its operations. What a former employee is saying about the ill-fated mission.
Also, dozens of people were trapped on a high-altitude cable car in Ecuador, the harrowing rescue to get them down.
Plus, a traffic stop in Nash County turns into a rescue. At 12:30, we're live with new information on the abduction of a Florida teen.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Can't get away? We can take you there right here with our WRAL Live Cam Network, Carolina Beach, this noon as you watch WRAL News, available on Hulu and the WRAL app on your TV or streaming device. Beautiful sight there. OceanGate, the owner of the submersible that imploded during a voyage to the Titanic, has suspended its exploration and commercial operations. However, the company's website still features descriptions of expedition offerings, including tours of the Titanic wreckage. NBC's Ann Thompson reports on the fallout from the deadly implosion.
Titan topside, you are out at 130 meters.
Nearly 3 weeks after the Titan submersible began its ill-fated dive to the Titanic shipwreck. This morning, the company that operated the vessel says it has suspended all exploration and commercial operations. Beyond Titanic, OceanGate had plans to take paying passengers aboard Titan to explore the Bahamas and Portugal's Azores archipelago next year. But now, last month's dive, which led to the death of five people, including the company's CEO, Stockton Rush, may be its last. The announcement comes amid international investigations and increased scrutiny of possible warning signs that may have been ignored.
I've broken some rules to make this.
In a BBC documentary film last year, Rush did not appear concerned when he was told about a noise heard on a past dive.
On mission four, when we got to the surface, Scott was piloting, he heard a really loud bang. Almost every deep diving sub makes a noise at some point.
The U.S. Coast Guard and the Transportation Safety Board of Canada are both examining debris found on the seafloor, including a voyage data recorder. U.S. investigators are currently analyzing what they believe are human remains recovered within the wreckage, all to determine what may have caused the deep-sea catastrophe. Experts have been critical of the different materials used in Titan's construction. In particular, two titanium end caps joined by a carbon fiber hull. Video posted in 2017 shows the OceanGate team bonding the pieces together with a type of glue.
The glue is very thick, so it's not like Elmer's glue. It's like peanut butter.
Meanwhile, members of the deep sea exploration community, including film director James Cameron, have speculated even before Titan's crew lost communication that Rush may have attempted to abort the dive and resurface.
I believe now that they had some warning, that they heard some acoustic signature of the hull beginning to delaminate.
I'm Zan Thompson reporting. David Lockridge worked for the company between 2016 and 2018. He wrote an email to the CEO, Stockton Rush, and in it he said the submersible was an accident waiting to happen.
Well, following some breaking news here in the WRAL Live Center, a seaplane crashed near Bald Head Island sometime this morning. That's according to the U.S. Coast Guard working this scene along with other first responders. Authorities say the plane went down in the Cape Fear River near Bald Head Island. These are pictures from the area courtesy of the NBC station in Wilmington. That station is working to get a crew on Bald Head Island. We here in the WRAL newsroom are working to find out how the crash happened, how many people were on board, and the status of anyone who was on board that aircraft. As soon as we get any new information, we'll surely update you here in the WRAL Live Center.
All right, Ken, thank you. Already want to delete your Threads account? Well, it may be a little harder than you think. Threads allows users to link their existing Instagram accounts to the app. But that means those who want to delete it will lose both accounts. Instagram says users can deactivate their Threads account or remove individual posts without deleting their Instagram account. The company also says it is looking into allowing users to delete their Threads account separately from Instagram. Amazon's competitors have started stepping up with their own mid-July sales. They want to compete with the Amazon Prime Day sale. That's July 11th and 12th. Target is planning a Target Circle Week for back to school July 9th to the 15th. Back to college deals at Target run July 16th through to the 26th, with students receiving a 20% discount. The chain is also offering teachers a one-time 20% discount on a shopping trip, either in-store or online.
Dozens of people trapped on one of the world's highest cable car systems have been rescued. The Quito cable car is 12,950 feet above sea level, making it one of the highest cable cars in South America. The 1.5 mile ride lasts about 18 minutes and offers views of the cityscape and surrounding mountains. No word on what caused the technical failure. Probably don't need to tell you this, but global temperatures are breaking records. The average world temperature climbed to 63.01 degrees Fahrenheit yesterday, marking the fourth straight day of record highs. Before this week, the hottest day on record was set in August of 2016. Experts say this is probably the warmest the planet has been in at least 100,000 years.
Wow. That is some pretty incredible data right there.
It shows some problems happening
a little bit
on our planet.
A couple problems, I don't think we're going to break any records temperature wise today, but it is certainly hot out there. Meteorologist Kat Gamble, I think a lot of people want to be where is behind you, Kat.
Lake Gaston is the place to be today. I was watching the camera earlier. I saw somebody wakeboarding out there, and boy, it looks so peaceful on a hot day like this. Lake Gaston, a live look from the Point restaurant. You can already see one boat there docked up at the restaurant. It's going to be a nice afternoon, at least early on, to be at the lake. But as we get toward 4 or 5 o'clock, and even a small 20% chance at 3, we could run into some thunderstorms. So if you're headed to the lake, just make sure that you keep an eye on the dual Doppler 5000 radar. You may run into a quick storm this evening. I think better chances would still be in the eastern part of our viewing area. And that's where we already have the clouds that are developing. These are fair weather cumulus clouds right now. And you can see kind of this boundary right here from Raleigh points west. Less clouds have developed so far. So we'll watch to see if these clouds grow in height. And that's a sign that a thunderstorm is starting to develop. This weekend, it's more of the same. Saturday, a 40% chance of storms. So the same storm chance we have today. These would be quick pulse storms. So they pop up, they die pretty quickly. Sunday could be a bigger issue, though. Sunday storm chances up to 60%. And even Saturday night will have a chance in between. Sunday also brings the potential for a severe storm. The big difference between Sunday and yesterday, today, and tomorrow is that we actually have something to help trigger these storms. And that's a cold front moving in. Damaging wind, gusts, hail, and some localized flooding will be possible on Sunday. So let's take a look at forecast for your weekend to hopefully help you plan around some of the storms. We're likely to be dry early in the day tomorrow, but by lunchtime, 1 o'clock, a few storms out there. These are going to be very scattered in nature through sunset. And then after sunset, we could see a lingering shower storm even overnight. We'll watch to see if anything that develops in the mountains tomorrow during the afternoon is able to hold together overnight. This run of forecast not showing it, but I'm not going to rule it out. Forecast for Sunday morning, a quiet start if you've got brunch plans, maybe you're headed to some worship services. But once we get past lunchtime, we see storms starting to develop, and these will be more. These are going to be more expansive on the radar compared to what we see tomorrow. And it's as this cold front moves in from the west that we see the better chances, because that's going to help to lift the air and trigger those showers and storms to develop. At the coast, if you're heading east, there is going to be a chance for some scattered storms tomorrow. Just try to head to the beach as early as you can in the morning to help dodge some of the afternoon and evening showers and storms. Same for Sunday at the coast. I don't particularly think Sunday will have more coverage at the coast, though, compared to Saturday. Still, pretty much the entire state of North Carolina could see a severe storm on Sunday. And because of the level 2 threat for severe weather, it is a WRAL weather alert day now. Stay tuned for updates as we get closer to Sunday. Monday trending a little bit drier, the cold front speeding up a bit, and it's still looking drier Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. So if you need to do something outside, I have a friend who needs to get their house painted. I told him Tuesday and Wednesday, that's going to be your day to go ahead and get it done.
All right. Thank you, Kat. Inspectors found evidence that rodents were inside a local restaurant. Five on Your Side has the report coming up in this week's restaurant ratings. That's tonight at 5.
More than 150,000 North Carolinians are going to lose critical access to child care as a federal program runs out. Tonight at 5, how child care centers are struggling to stay open and the effect that could have on your family. Well, still ahead this noon, 30 million users signed up for Meta's new app on its first day. Some like it, others are ready to delete it. It may not be as simple as you think, and we'll explain why.
Also, food delivery platforms experienced a huge boom during the pandemic. Why some companies are objecting to a new minimum wage law in one city.
VW is getting ready to test self-driving microbuses, and mortgage rates are climbing again. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Mortgage rates spiked to an 8-month high yesterday. The average rate on a 30-year fixed loan hit 7.22%, according to the Mortgage News Daily. The jump came after the yield on the 10-year Treasury note rose, and that move was triggered by reports showing job growth in the private sector was far stronger than expected. That has investors thinking the Fed will have to keep interest rates high for a longer period of time. Threads had quite a first day. The app from Meta to challenge Twitter signed up more than 30 million users. It also drew the threat of legal action from Twitter. A lawyer for Twitter called Threads a copycat and accused Meta of hiring former Twitter workers. Twitter demanded Meta stop using its trade secrets to build Threads. Meta says that there are no former Twitter workers on the Threads engineering team. Sales of electric vehicles slowed in the first half of the year from last year's red-hot pace. EV sales were up 50% in the first 6 months. That compared to a 71% surge last year. This is according to data from research firm Market Intelligence. Last year's sales jump came as gas prices were higher, and there were a number of new models for buyers to choose from. But even with the slowdown, EV sales grew far faster and conventional vehicles. Those sales were up 10% in the first half. Volkswagen plans to test self-driving technology and a few retro-styled microbuses. It will be the automaker's first test of autonomous vehicles in the U.S. 10 of VW's ID. Buzz buses will be used in the program in Austin, Texas. The test will expand to 4 other U.S. cities over the next few years. No word on what cities just yet. VW plans to launch commercial services using the technology in Austin by 2026. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
DoorDash, Grubhub, and Uber Eats are challenging New York City's new minimum wage law for food app delivery workers. The food delivery platforms say the law would hurt delivery workers more than help them. Starting Wednesday, the law would increase pay for the app delivery workers to $17.96 per hour before tips. DoorDash and Grubhub say the law would force companies to pay workers for hours that they are available, even if they don't actually make any deliveries.
A bizarre story is unfolding in Nash County. A traffic stop along I-95 leads to charges of child abduction. We're live with how this all unfolded. Plus, we've heard of companies being attacked by ransomware. Now investigators say a disturbing new trend is emerging across the country. And as we head to break, here are your winning lottery numbers. Good luck.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
A Florida man is behind bars in Nash County today after abducting a juvenile and driving her from Florida up north. He was caught on 95 by Nash County deputies on July 4th. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan has more on this disturbing case that the sheriff says could have turned tragic. Chelsea.
Absolutely. Let's show you his picture. This is 40-year-old Alejandro Vasquez of Miami, Florida. He's actually behind me right now in the Nash County Detention Center. The sheriff tells me this morning around midnight on July 4th, Vasquez was pulled over on 95 for speeding. After an investigation, they found that Vasquez not only had drugs in the car, but a 16-year-old girl in the back seat who had gone missing from her home in Coral Springs, Florida. Deputies stopped that Audi with those Florida plates on 95 late that night, and they found two THC vape pens in the car. Then they found the 16-year-old girl who was reported missing 5 hours prior from her home. The sheriff here says that the suspect was not known to that family and that Vasquez did not have permission to transport her across state lines. He says that he had no idea where the man planned to take the girl, but he says he believes they met online and she was lured into going with him.
Monitor your kids' social media, because a lot of this stuff starts with people preying on children. And if you're not monitoring what your child is doing on the internet or on social media, then there's the possibilities that people are taking advantage of them. This older guy here is taking advantage of a 16-year-old. He was carrying her up north, and I'm sure it was not for the best interest of that girl or for society.
And he faces a long list of charges, including abduction of a child and contributing to a delinquency of a minor, including those drug charges as well. Like I said, he's in the Nash County Detention Facility right now under a $505,000 bond.
Such a scary situation that could have turned out so much worse. Chelsea Donovan live in Nash County. Thanks, Chelsea.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, the Santa County Sheriff's Office and the State's Parks Division confirming a man drowned at Jordan Lake. With the help of Google Maps, let me give you some perspective of where this incident happened near the Poplar Point campground. Authorities say the man was 42 years old, but did not release any further information about how this happened. We do know the man's body was recovered late last night after an extensive search of this area near that campground. Of course, we'll monitor this story for any new information and keep you updated.
Employees at public schools across our state are now legally entitled to paid parental leave, but the details are still being worked out. The Department of Public Instruction proposed new rules that are largely similar to ones already in place for other state employees. According to the Board of Education's attorney, a teacher must be with a school system for 12 straight months before they qualify for leave. The Board of Education will vote on those rules in August. New science standards for North Carolina's K through 12 students will push for more hands-on learning. The State Board of Education approved its first update to the state's science standards since 2009. The main change is to rephrase the standards to encourage more interactive lessons. It's part of the state's effort to emphasize scientific and engineering practices in everyday learning. Schools will start using the new standards this year with full implementation during the 24-25 school year.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Cumberland and Orange counties. A Chapel Hill coffee shop nestled in the trees just off Franklin Street is offering globally recognized coffee in a woodland setting. Cafe Driadi has been a destination for photographers and nature enthusiasts ever since it opened in the 1990s. In recent years, it's become a popular place for Instagram posts and TikTok videos. Cafe Driadi backs up the Bullen Creek Trail, and it's a short walk from the trail to the coffee shop or vice versa. You might even see a chipmunk, deer, or owl. And the Cumberland County Health Department wants parents to prepare early for back to school. They're hosting a health clinic next week on Saturday, July 15th. You can stop by the Public Health Center in Fayetteville between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. Vaccines will be available for all students K through 12. No appointment is necessary.
Online school databases are full of sensitive information about students, but cybersecurity experts say the number of ransomware attacks against school districts is expected to increase. Gary Bumgarten takes a look at the potential risks and how schools should fight back.
Parents, beware. Your child could be one of the more than 5 million students across the country affected by ransomware attacks, according to data from the cybersecurity firm Recorded Future.
It is serious. It's very serious.
Hackers are breaking into the databases of public school districts and stealing highly confidential information, including documents on student sexual assaults, suicide attempts, abuse of parents, and more. Then cybercriminals are threatening to release those materials online unless schools pay large sums of money.
Why is it necessary to store this data on computers accessible over the internet?
In March of this year, Minneapolis Public Schools refused to pay a $1 million ransom to hackers, who responded by leaking more than 300,000 student and staff files. A similar incident also impacted the Los Angeles Unified Public School District last fall. And because federal law does not require schools to alert potential victims of cyber attacks, some families don't know their children's sensitive data was compromised until months after the incident, which could result in identity theft and damage to their mental health.
It shouldn't be up to individual parents to be spreading the word. It should be up to the district.
As Gary Bumgarten reporting, cyber experts also say they're calling for districts to spend more money updating their servers.
The fall election season is now underway as candidates can begin filing to be on the ballot for municipal elections. Candidates can file until July 21st at noon. Most counties will have primary elections on October 10th and the general election on November 7th. Now remember, when you go to vote this fall, you will need to bring a photo ID. Coming up, 4th of July celebrations have come and gone, but some residents in Massachusetts are still seeing the effects of it. Why one company is now being sued.
And these folks are seeing red again. We'll take you inside the famous Pamplona Festival in Spain.
Fireworks may be over, but this weekend there's still plenty to do. It is packed with events.
Yeah, and here's a look at your best bets from WRL's Out and About team. First, we start with First Friday in downtown Raleigh. Just head down to Moore Square tonight for the monthly market and movie night. There'll be food trucks, vendors, games, and live music. Starting at 7:30 p.m., there'll be a free screening of Men in Black.
And on Saturday, there is a superhero event in Raleigh. The Geek and Grub Monthly Market will be held at Fred Fletcher Park from 6 to 10 p.m. There will be superhero meet and greets, games, comic book themed competitions, and local vendors. Admission is free.
And a popular comedian is taking the stage in Durham for two nights. Emmy Award winner John Oliver will be performing at Durham Performing Arts Center on Saturday and Sunday. Durham is one of only eight cities on his U.S. tour. To find out more about these events and others, just go to WRL.com and search Out and About.
A pyrotechnics company has been suspended for improperly disposing of shells after a fireworks show. Two dozen unexploded fireworks shells washed up on a Martha's Vineyard beach. A bomb squad had to be called in to handle them. Fire officials say there's still a chance that more fireworks could wash up on shore.
In the not-so-distant future, robots and humans could live side by side. Coming up, how advanced technology is advancing a variety of industries around the world.
Plus, some big changes are coming to some rewards programs. Find out if they're worth joining later. From healthcare to entertainment and beyond, robots are becoming a greater part of our everyday lives. Lauren Blanchard takes a look at some unique bots with some pretty amazing skills.
It's nice to meet you.
We often hear stories about a future where robots and people will live side by side. But look no further, because the future is here. With a variety of robots already advancing industries like healthcare, music, and more.
I have a human-like physical appearance, but I am not a human.
Take Nadine, for example. Powered by artificial intelligence, Nadine is what's called a social robot. Back in 2020, at the height of the pandemic, Nadine kept residents at a nursing home in Singapore company.
My role was to interact with elderly on their demands and play a bingo with them. It was a great experience.
And with nursing and caregiver fields seeing staffing shortages after the pandemic, engineers hope more robots like Nadine can fill in the gaps, especially because they can run 24 hours a day, unlike people. But robots are also infiltrating the entertainment world. This android recently served as the conductor for South Korea's national orchestra. Armed with a baton, the bot seamlessly moved its arms to cue musicians when to play. And while there were a few hiccups during the performance, the orchestra's principal conductor was pleased with the robot's progress.
That was Lauren Blanchard reporting. Many engineers say these advancements are not meant to replace people's jobs with robots, but instead it's about seeing how society can evolve as the two work together.
This year's Running of the Bulls officially kicked off today in northern Spain, Pamplona. Several runners were injured. No one was gored. The festival has religious origins dating back to the Middle Ages. Thousands of tourists come from all over the world to run alongside locals over 7 days. Happens every day. The festival was made famous by Ernest Hemingway's 1926 novel, The Sun Also Rises. This year marks the 100th anniversary of Hemingway's first visit to that festival. That's how they empty out into the arena right there. The Bulls come running in behind it. That's on my bucket list. You didn't know this, did you? It is on my bucket list.
It is?
I'm going to run with the Bulls one day.
I don't need to run with the Bulls. I can go to Spain and do other things in Spain. I don't need to run with the Bulls.
I'll do some other stuff too, but that's happening.
Yeah. Well, if you can't go to Spain, you can stay here in Raleigh because we have some really nice weather. It's sunny right now. Meteorologist Kat Gamble standing by. We could see some storms later on, though, Kat.
Yep. If you're going to be outside today, make sure you find some shade. It is hot out there and steamy as well. 92, and it's only noon in Durham. It's going to be a hot day out at the DBAP for the game tonight. 92 in Raleigh at the WRAL Gardens and 90 degrees in Fayetteville right now. Downtown, a live look there at the WRAL Fayetteville newsroom. Our forecast highs today, 90. In Raleigh. We've spent a couple days in the lower 90s, so we're going back up temperature-wise. 95 in Wilson, 93 potentially in Roxborough, and 92 in Siler City. 96 possible in Fayetteville today, 95 in Sanford and Smithfield, 94 is the warming potential in Goldsboro. You just can't escape the heat no matter where you are, not even in Roxborough today. If you are headed out for a dog walk, try to hold off a few more hours. Lunchtime through about 5 o'clock, that's the peak heat of the day. If you can hold off until this evening before or after dinner, I think you'll be better off in terms of the heat. But that's when we do have a slightly better chance of a thunderstorm. So keep that in mind. But please try to protect yourself in this heat and your pets as well. The pavement temperatures on the asphalt, over 130 in the Triangle right now, near 130 in Roxborough. But these numbers are dangerous everywhere. So please try to keep your pets in the grass, protect their paws, keep them in the grass or in the shade if at all possible. Or if you're like me, just hold off until a little bit later on tonight for the longer walk. Today's heat index could reach 102 in the Triangle, and it already has reached 102 in the Triangle. That's where we are right now. 104 is the warming potential for the heat index in Fayetteville, 97 in Roxborough. And this is because the humidity muggy meter hasn't budged. In fact, it's a little bit higher than it was yesterday. The dew point, 74 degrees. It is tropical. It is definitely feeling like July in North Carolina. It's about as bad as it gets. We have seen dew points get up into the upper 70s before, but that's much less common. These mid-70s, they're pretty bad, though. And we're going to stay there through the weekend. Once we get to early next week, we see just a teeny tiny drop in the dew point. So it's still going to feel humid outside, but it's not going to be quite as bad as it is outside right now. Tuesday, the dew point 70, which is still at the top of the muggy meter in the tropical category, but we'll take any little bit of a dip that we can get there. Scattered thunderstorm chances return this evening as well as Saturday evening. Sunday will be the best chance of rain and storms this weekend, and we are under a threat that we could see some severe storms on Sunday. So check in for updates as we get closer. Sunday is now a WRAL weather alert day, just to give you advance notice of that. As we get into next week, though, we do have a drier pattern setting up. It is not going to be any less hot, but at least we'll get a little bit of a break from the storm chances.
All right, that sounds good. Thanks, Kat. NBA Hall of Famer Kobe Bryant may be gone, but his legacy lives on. How a new generation of fans and gamers is being introduced to Mamba mentality.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. The man charged with gunning down a five-year-old girl in Durham was her cousin. This evening at 6, the community is expected to hold a balloon release in honor of Chloe Fennell. Her cousin, 15-year-old Destiny Sidbury, was also shot but survived. This morning, Brian Luster was scheduled to appear in court, but once again, he did not appear. We're told Luster will be assigned a court-appointed attorney. His next court date is set for later this month.
The search continues for a missing 71-year-old Wake County man. This is Cecil Olive. He's 6 feet tall, weighs 160 pounds, with graying hair and green eyes. Olive was last seen wearing a red or burgundy shirt and black shorts, dark-colored shoes with white socks. Deputies are searching in the Apex area around Evans Road and Grouse Trail. If you see Olive, call the Wake County Sheriff's Office.
The U.S. job market is still strong, but there are signs of it weakening. The new jobs report released today shows the economy added 209,000 jobs in June. That's less than the 240,000 jobs the experts forecast. This morning's report also revised down May's job numbers. Other data also shows temporary hiring is falling as well. A local economist says this could signal a slowing economy.
Amy Olsen is counting down the weeks until motherhood, but first, she's taking a swing at the U.S. Women's Open. Olsen is one of 156 players who teed off yesterday at Pebble Beach. This is her. Once the U.S. Open ends, her maternity leave will begin. Amateur Brenda Corey Kuhn was 8 months pregnant when she teed off at the 2001 U.S. Women's Open. Her daughter was born 1 week later.
Basketball legend Kobe Bryant is the featured athlete for the 25th anniversary of the NBA 2K franchise. The late Hall of Famer and Los Angeles Laker will be featured on two covers, the Kobe Bryant edition and the Black Mamba edition. Pre-orders for the game start Friday, and the game drops at the beginning of September.
Your favorite brands that offer you perks are cutting back on just how much you can get. Some restaurants stopped giving free birthday treats and drinks. Others are also trimming back the time frame you can redeem rewards. Business experts say rewards maintenance costs, changes in consumer behaviors, and inflation may be reasons for the changes.
Our pet of the day is a majestic long-haired cat from the SPCA of Wake County. This is Benny. He is statuesque with giant ears, long fur, beautiful markings. Benny was surrendered to the shelter when his owner could no longer keep him. He likes kids and other cats, but doesn't appreciate dogs very much. Benny has a sensitive tummy, and he's not always up for pets. He loves people, but sometimes he'd rather curl up next to you than be handled. Learn more about Benny and other pets at spcawake.org.
Someone broke into a substation in North Carolina. Today at 4, how authorities say the man was able to do it and what he's accused of stealing.
And we have a beautifully hot day on the way, certainly. And a lot like yesterday with some of those storms possibly popping up just a little bit later. They got violent at my house last night.
Mine too. Yeah, it's crazy. And there are cooling stations also open today for those who need relief. We have all the information on our website.
Also, NBC News Daily is next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
And you can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Have a great day and great weekend.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.